Environment Matters, sponsored by Wuka Period Pants, the reusable menstrual underwear that completely replaces disposables. Find out more at wuka.co.uk and join the revolution.
And welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Coming up later, the Hearts of Middlesex Wildlife Trust want your help to bring about nature's recovery. But first, after the closure of the Butterfly World site at Chiswell Green, the charity Butterfly World 2.0 was rendered homeless. After years of fighting to reopen the old site, does any hope remain? Well, John Horsfield of Butterfly World 2.0 is recovering from a knee operation, so I spoke to him over the telephone to find out. John, thank you so much for joining me. So, has Butterfly World 2.0, has it given up on regaining its old site? Is that the position now?
Yeah, there's no way we were going to get anywhere. It's terrible sadness that lovely meadow has virtually died now.
Right.
But the good thing is that positives can often come out of disasters.
Okay then, John. So what's your vision now for Butterfly World 2.0?
Well, we made some decisions last autumn not to look back, but to look forward. And we've got a very detailed plan as to what we want to do. The things that are happening at the moment are that we are creating three completely new wildflower butterfly meadows. One in Keensfield and Hemel Hempstead that was planted a week ago.
Okay, so how did that go?
That was marvellous. We spread the word on social media, got about 20 people turn up who either knew about us or were completely new to us, and they did the sowing in about 2 hours.
Okay, so how did you know what to sow in the field?
Well, we've been very lucky. We've had a lot of help from two other charities. Plant Life is the charity behind the Save Our Meadows campaign, and their expert spent quite a lot of time on the phone with my deputy chairman, Lindsay McBray, and myself, looking at and telling us how we should go about planting a meadow. Because one of the big issues was that we didn't want to scrape off the top surface of grass that was quite healthy and growing well.
And that's often necessary because the wildflowers like a slightly less rich soil, don't they?
That's right. But what we've done, therefore, is we've gone into the grass, we've made sort of slices in it and dropped the seeds in that. And we're also very lucky that another charity, Bug Life, has donated two large, very large sacks of seed to us.
Right.
So we're hoping that will be enough to plant all three meadows.
Okay, so you've had excellent support from these charities and you've already planted up one meadow. Now, the next meadow is going to be at Garston Park in Watford.
We've got one going up in Garston Park in Watford, which will be sown on Thursday week. There's a lovely group of people who use the park called Green Gym, who do environmental activities to keep free it, which is a brilliant idea. They will be helping us with the sowing there. And the other piece of news that really is hot on the press at the moment.
This is quite exciting, isn't it? Yes. So your third meadow, where's this going to be then?
The third meadow is going to be in St Albans. And the really exciting thing is that we're going to be able to sow it in the Abbey Orchard, which is right by the side of the Abbey.
So that really is quite,
It's so exciting and it's nice because I think I probably told you this in the programme before, but when we first started out, Bishop Allen, the Bishop of St Albans, wrote me a really nice letter, which he said, please use and publish, supporting what we were doing.
Yeah.
And it's lovely to be working with the cathedral again. We will be planting the meadow up on Sunday week, the 14th, starting at 10:30. We're hoping lots of people will come with trowels and small forks to help us. And I believe it's going to become a real tourist attraction in St Albans. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be close to the cathedral. It's going to be something that people coming to and from the cathedral will be seeing every day. I'm just so excited about this.
Well,
I think the fact that out of the misery of Butterfly World, three fantastic meadows are going to be established.
It is really great, isn't it?
If they go well, we're going to do two more next year, one in Luton and one in Reading and Hatfield, so that we'll have one in St Albans and then we'll have one in all the local authorities around us.
Wow. I mean, I think this it's an amazing vision that you've got there. And of course, that these meadows, they'll be beautiful to look at, also fabulous for butterflies and for other pollinators at a time when it's essential for them, isn't it?
And that's one of the reasons why Bug Life are quite interested. They're going to keep an eye on the bug population that uses these areas. And of course, I'm certainly working with Butterfly Conservation to get a proper count of the butterflies. Right. This is a real community activity. Unfortunately, I couldn't make the sowing in Hemel because of my blasted knee, but I will be at the next two sowings. And the message I got back and the photo I've seen, it was a real community event. And I think knowing how good people in St Albans are volunteering, I'm looking forward to a large number of people turning up on the 14th, armed with their trowels, etc., to come and help us sow this meadow.
Yeah.
We're also discussing the possibility of another one in the Brewer Park, but it's too early to say anything about that one yet. We're still in discussion, and they have to contact English Heritage and Sex people because of the importance of that particular park. But, I mean, we've had wonderful cooperation from the District Council, all the District Councils, and St Albans with the St Albans District Council, and, of course, the Cathedral staff. So I just think this is a way forward, and we've got some other very exciting plans coming up. I'm not going to go
into
much detail at the moment because we've got to cost them and see if we can find the money.
Indeed.
But, we really want to make a proper impact.
Well, it certainly sounds like you're well on the way to doing that. And it's, as you say, fabulous to see that out of negative news, you're managing to make really good and positive steps towards the future. We really look forward to hearing about the next steps that you've got going.
You're informed, and thank you very much for having me on the programme again.
No problem. Always good to hear from you. And always good to hear from John Horsfield from Butterfly World 2.0. And remember, that's 10:30 on Sunday the 14th, armed with your trowel to help Butterfly World 2.0 plant their butterfly meadow in the Abbey Orchard below the Abbey in St Albans. Now, The Wind in the Willows is a children's classic featuring animals that were, at the time that the book was written, common enough for all children to be familiar with them. Well, the Wildlife Trust have enlisted a host of celebrities to take part in a new film trailer of The Wind in the Willows to help highlight the threats facing the creatures featured in the book right now. I spoke to Frieda Rummenhall at the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust to find out more. Frieda, thank you for joining me. So can you give us a quick rundown on how water voles? I think water voles is the new way we talk about water rats, isn't it?
Yeah.
How water voles and toads and moles are doing in Hertfordshire now.
So, yeah, we've used The Wind in the Willows because it's a very well-known and beloved British classic. But sadly, the wildlife decline doesn't stop at Badger and his friends. According to the State of Nature report, between 1970 and 2013, we have actually lost 56% of UK species. This is sadly also true in Hertfordshire. Our county, as a home county to London, is under pressure from changing land, increased development, so it is really vital that we protect the wild places we have here, such as our lovely globally rare chalk streams.
Yes, indeed. So things not looking very good for ratty toad and mole. I mean, why aren't there laws protecting these animals and helping them to recover?
Well, there are laws, there are environmental protection laws, but together with the planning systems, they just don't go far enough. They are just simply not strong enough in the protection, let alone the job of nature's recovery.
Right, okay. I mean, but this isn't just another illustration of how wildlife is declining. The Wildlife Trust, you do have plans to hopefully start improving the situation.
Yep.
do you want to tell us about the Nature Recovery Network and the legislation that you're pressing for?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's quite clear that nature reserves alone, they don't do the job for wildlife recovery. We've seen wildlife forced into smaller and narrow and few pockets of nature reserves, wild spaces, surrounded on all sides by urban spaces and developments and intensive agriculture. Our wildlife, however, needs green corridors, just like we need trains and roads to get around. So they need green corridors to move around between habitats. We do need a joined-up network of habitats that provide enough space for wildlife to recover. Right. And, it really is time to act now. We've already lost so much wildlife. And the government is working on a new Environment Act, and this is our chance to start nature's recovery.
Okay, so what do you want us to do to help with the nature's recovery?
Well, Amanda, it's not a battle that the wildlife trusts only can fight. We need really everyone on board. Everyone can and should join the fight for a wilder future. The government has stated that it intends to leave our environment in a better state than it inherited it, which is great, but sadly not all politicians regard this as a high priority. So, our wildlife doesn't have an MP, but we do. So what we can do is ask our MPs, get in touch with them, contact them, arrange meetings, let them know that we care about wildlife.
Right. Okay. So you want us to get in touch with our MPs. Anything particular that you want us to do sort of in a practical point of view?
Oh, yes. You can find loads of ideas on our website, heartswildlifetrust.org.uk. You can make a promise to wildlife. You can walk in the paw prints of our Wind in the Willows characters. To see the challenges that they're facing every day in our modern world.
Okay, so plenty that we can be doing there.
Absolutely.
As you say, hopefully to start the recovery that our nature definitely needs. Frieda, thank you very much for joining
Thank
me.
You.
So the message is quite clear. We all need to do our bit to help wildlife. And something that the Wildlife Trusts are asking us to do, in particular to help wildlife in our gardens, is to install a pond. I spoke to Josh Carnes, who's the People and Wildlife Officer for Affinity Water Sites, to explain a bit more about this. Josh, thank you for joining me. So why are ponds so important?
Ponds are absolutely fantastic hotspots for biodiversity. They support so many species, lots of plants and animals, and interesting things as well.
Okay, so really important then. Now, the Wildlife Trust and the Royal Horticultural Society are getting together to ask us to make ponds in our gardens. Now, a lot of us don't have very big gardens. How big does a pond need to be useful for wildlife?
Well, generally the bigger the better, but there is a misunderstanding that that a pond has to be a large, elaborate feature dug into the ground, but that's just not true. So even the smallest of ponds can be used by wildlife. You can create a mini pond, and it's a hugely fun activity.
OK, so, you know, the bigger the better, but actually any pond is better than no pond at all.
That's right.
I suppose the other question is, we do have this idea, I mean, water is quite dangerous for children. Aren't ponds a bit of a no-no if we've got kids?
Oh, well, if you have kids, that's even more of a reason to create a pond. As I mentioned, creating a mini pond is so much fun, and it's a great way to get those close-up experiences with kids and show them the wonder of the natural world.
Okay, so it's just a matter of keeping an eye on them, remembering that drowning can be an issue. But yeah, I seem to remember as a kid finding ponds absolutely fascinating. So what makes a good pond for wildlife then? Are there any particular features we should try and incorporate?
Well, I have three top tips if you've opted for a larger pond. So firstly, choose a sunny spot. Secondly, the best wildlife ponds have sloping edges that allow the wildlife to flourish in and around the pond's margins. And thirdly, I'd recommend having a variety of plant types. So edge plants, floating plants and submerged plants.
OK, so if you've got room for all of those, then you're making sure that your pond is as good for wildlife
as you can do. Now, what kind of wildlife can I look forward to seeing? You know, I've taken your advice, I've got my sloping hedges and different kinds of plants. What kind of wildlife can I look forward to seeing in my garden if I do get a pond?
Well, the great thing is that just after filling a new pond, water beetles can be attracted to it and can be enticed in by the shimmering surface, and some species of dragonflies and damselflies will lay eggs in the water even before vegetation is planted. And there are smaller insects like mayflies, caddisflies, hoverflies. They're essential components of our ecosystem, and they can start their next generation.
And we've heard quite a lot recently about the loss of all these little invertebrates, haven't we? So presumably ponds are really helping to counteract that.
Yes, that's right. The loss of ponds has been substantial, and putting new ones in will really make some headway to improve the biodiversity of our local area.
Yeah, indeed. How about after dark? Is there anything that's likely to visit our ponds then?
Well, yes, absolutely. Bats will be attracted to those small insects that I mentioned. They'll come at night, of course, and feed around the pond. And also hedgehogs will come along as well. So if you would like hedgehogs in your garden, then a fantastic starting point is to create a pond, because they'll come along and drink.
I can imagine that's a temptation for a lot of people. Do you know, one of the things I like best about my pond is watching birds coming for a bath. And I would say that robins seem to be particularly clean little birds and spend a long time bathing. So, yeah, it's a lot of pleasure to be had from a pond, isn't there? Now, you've got a lot of great resources on the Wild About Gardens website. Can you just tell us about a few of them?
Yes, on the Wild About Gardens website, you can get more details on creating, planting and looking after your own garden pond. But you can also find out more information about hedgehogs, about worms, how to have a healthy soil, that is, bats, and also wild bees in your garden and what you can do to help them. And also, if you join the Wildlife Trust as a member in April, you can get a free copy of the Wildlife Gardening book, which is a part of the partnership between the Wildlife Trust and the Royal Horticultural Society.
Yeah, and I've taken a little look. It is lovely, actually, isn't it? Some beautiful pictures, but loads of really useful down-to-earth information as well. So, yeah, if you were thinking of joining, definitely now would be the time to do it. Well, let's hope that lots of people take on that advice and we get lots more garden ponds being created this year. Josh, thank you very much indeed for joining me. Some great advice there. Go on then, grab your spade. I'm going to be back at the same time next week. Until then, thank you for listening.
Environment Matters, sponsored by Wooka Period Pants, the reusable menstrual underwear that completely replaces disposables. Find out more at wooka.co.uk and join the revolution.